That looks better.
Oh, man. Man, man, man. This day
Gonna say
just does not stop.
me and you were busting our ass all day.
Oh,
Constantly.
I mean, Liv was too, don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah. But you can't put too much on the new people like that. She's still learning.
Yeah.
So, you know.
She did
And she
pretty good though.
didn't
There were,
yeah, she did an awesome job. She's
yeah, there were only a couple small things that I was like, oh, you don't know how to do that? What?
still relatively new and
No, it's fine. It was nothing super crazy, just
Well, her and Connor have been excellent additions to the story.
oh yeah, for sure. All right. While I eat dinner real quick, I'm gonna let Justin talk about celebrity deaths and some cool shit that he got in the mail. So I'm gonna mute myself so you don't hear me chewing.
We'll just watch you put crumbs in your beard because I've seen that a couple times already. Right. Well, it's been a sad week. It's a lot of the people who have passed are well, like older. Robert Duvall, 95. I didn't realize he was that old. But for those who don't know who Robert Duvall is, go watch The Godfather. Because that I think that was one of his breakout movies. I think that's one of his earliest movies. He played, I want to say, one of the brothers, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a long time since I've watched The Godfather. But original Godfather, he was one of the brothers, or one of the trusted, see, one of the trusted lawyers or something. He was an important part of the Godfather legacy. I remember him in with Nick Cage and what was that movie? It came out at the same time as Fast and the Furious. I'm trying drawing a blank, but it was Nick Cage was in it. I think was it Cedric the Entertainer was in it too? Like it had like a lot of big celebrities in it, but he played like the wise old guy in it. But yeah, he's it's a shame. Condolences to his family. We also lost a big human rights activist, Reverend Jesse Jackson. He was 84. So condolences to his family. And on the Pittsburgh end here, me wearing my Steeler hat. We lost all pro safety and four-time Super Bowl champion Mike Wagner. He was 76. He did have cancer. I know that much. So condolences to his family. And we lost another one here, Steeler Nation. We've lost the three big names in the last couple years here in Steeler country, Steeler Nation here. So fingers crossed we don't lose too many more good men. But yeah, those were the highlights per se of celebrity deaths there. I don't think there was too many other deaths that I can recall off the top of my head. Also I got this a year. Well, this was a Kickstarter during COVID, I think. They just got this done. Dynamite had it. Dynamite's been doing a lot of cool Kickstarters. I think Boom has a really cool one with the Hellraiser, the original Hellraiser stuff. It looks really sweet. But Hellraiser's not my, well, it's one of my favorite horror movies, but I don't collect their comics, but I do collect Gargoyles, and this is all of the Gargoyles, all the early stuff from Marvel. They packed it in here. They beautifully binded. These are absolutely gorgeous in here. Even this last one here, though, is apparently a bunch of stuff that didn't even get released. And it's all black and white. So pretty cool with that for those that aren't. Yeah, these were, this one was, the third one was published between 2007 and 2009, it said, but they didn't last very long. This volume two is 2006 through 2009. And this one here is the original stuff from 1995. So.
I'm wondering if the unreleased stuff was stuff that was going to be a version of the series that just never happened.
I think that's probably what it is. I haven't even gone look through the third book yet. I was just
Okay.
happy to start reading this stuff because I never did get to read the entirety of the 90s book. I do have number one, but I don't have anything past that because it's so hard to find
Right.
all the original Marvel stuff. So it's nice that I have it now in an omnibus and I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But you know, these are beautiful. This was an awesome Kickstarter. I think I got the, what tier was this? I think this was like third tier. So this was like 100, 150 bucks for these.
It's not
They
bad,
did.
considering
They
they're all
did.
probably like 60 or 70 bucks each now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is 35. This was 45 and 45. So yeah, that's probably around that. They did also throw in a special variant for Gargoyle's Quest number one.
Oh,
So I
cool.
also have that. So I added that to my Gargoyle collection though. So I was pretty happy with that. I'm still waiting for my other Kickstarter that I ordered during the COVID years. We'll see how that, how, if I ever get that one or not. Because I tried to get my refund like a year ago, and they're like, well, you already ordered it, so we can't get, you know, give you a refund. I was like, well, when are you going to send me this stuff? And they're like, well, tariffs. And I'm like,
Yeah, because it's all stuck overseas, being printed.
yeah. Well, it's everything was printed in the UK, so it's a lot of like crap like that.
Yep.
So,
Yeah. So some dates to keep in mind. Next weekend. Not this coming one, but next weekend, Justin and I will be in State College for Happy Valley Comic Con.
yes.
We are taking the big hitters. So, yeah. Yeah, let's
Now
do that.
we're taking what, the big book, we're big books we got.
Yep.
We got some nice pricey Silver Age. We have cheap Silver Age.
Yep.
We have cheap graphic novels.
Yep.
Cheap mop.
I may even grab the extra Silver Age that's in Cranberry off their counter, like the couple long boxes of that.
We got what, a couple boxes of blank covers because there are some awesome artists. So
Yeah.
you can get some really cool art. And we've also got some cheap manga in there too. We got a couple boxes of cheap manga. So we got a nice diverse thing. I think everybody will be pleasantly surprised. I think it's going
I
to be
agree.
a good time. I love this show. This is a fun show to kick off the new year. I just wish it wasn't in the winter. It sucks so hard in there.
I mean, at least, hold
But we've
on,
been lucky.
let
The last couple of years haven't been too
I
bad.
was
Like
gonna
it's been
say,
cold, but it hasn't been
before
like
you say
snowy and
that,
nasty.
let me check the weather, 'cause yeah. No, next weekend. I mean, Friday, a little tiny bit of snow, like a little bit.
Yeah.
But Saturday, 53, Sunday, 45, which
That's
is
not
pretty
bad.
much
That's not
what we're
bad.
getting this weekend, except a day different. Like, we're gonna hit
Yeah.
60 tomorrow, and then Sunday's gonna be 40.
Yeah.
So, it's.
I'll take that. I'll take
Yeah.
that.
I mean, they have lucked out every year they've done this show.
So far,
So,
yeah. Yeah, the
so I'm
last 3
just.
years.
Yeah, so. Woo!
That's
But
one of these days though. One of these years, it's going to be like the blizzard of the year, and be like, we're going to have to postpone this con because we got like
yeah.
2 feet of snow and nobody can get to this show.
Oh, not 2 feet. It would have to be like 4 feet of snow, because, like, people in state college are crazy. So.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about guest-wise and everything.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
where it's going to be bad, is like guests, and I'm sure certain vendors will be like, oh, I ain't dragging stuff to
Right.
this show. You and me
And
would
then.
probably do it. We'd be fine. We'd be like, oh, just pack everything in the van. We're being good.
Right. And then Saturday, March 7th, the weekend after that, is the Ohio Valley Store anniversary sale. So go out there and hang out and get some cheap books. All the dollar books will be half price. Be like 10 to 20% off some other stuff. It'll be a good time. Go check it out. Especially if you haven't been there, if you've never seen it before, it's a pretty big store. It's a lot of fun. So, but yeah, I'm excited to go to State College next week, or yeah, next weekend. The rest of this weekend, I'll be doing the remote version of Comics Pro, which has been interesting because I watched a little bit of it today. They had a couple of the presentations, so it was kind of cool, to hear that a distributor who will I will not name, actually is going after people that are breaking street date is awesome. And they're basically making them get their stuff after street date now because of that, or on the release day. And I was like, good for you. That's awesome. Like
Yeah.
looking out for everybody, like all the other
Yeah.
retailers. I love it.
That'll
So
show the scalpers and the douchers. I'm going to use the word douchers,
fair.
because I think they are. That's my opinion. If you can't even just release it like on street date, what's the
Right.
issue with that? I
Yeah.
don't understand you. If you put it out early, like you're going to get in trouble
Yeah.
eventually, so
That's kind of how I look at it too. So yeah, I don't really care
because
much for it.
you were telling me some of the guys on Whatnot were getting in trouble, which that
Yep.
finally
Yeah, they're going after the Whatnot guys. They're going after
yeah.
guys that are like doing live, anything live, that are just breaking street date. They're just going after them. So
Good. Good.
yeah,
It's
as they
I mean,
should.
it's especially Whatnot, it used to be pretty cool. I think like the first year and a half, it was fun.
Right.
I think since then though, it's Scalper Haven and a lot of very shady people do business on
I
Whatnot.
agree.
Now, I'm not saying everybody, because there are some really cool dealers. There's some really cool people that do Whatnot stuff. Like there are a couple of guys that who are in the pro, if there are people in the pro wrestling like I am, like you got, well, you like pro wrestling to a degree as well, is what's the friggin' company name? I forget what they call themselves, but Zack Ryder and a couple of the other wrestling guys that are big toy guys,
Yeah.
and they do Whatnot stuff, and they sell their ring gear, they sell their own figure signed stuff like that. And I give them credit, because a lot of those proceeds, they'll do that for charity, and that's exactly the good stuff you want to hear on that. There's the professor from Magic. He does it Whatnot streams. And a lot of that stuff, he does tons of giveaways. Yeah, he does all that, but
Right.
he does it for his channel. So it's for his channel and comes back in, and we get everything from that on YouTube. So there's a lot of good people on Whatnot, but there are the shady side of it, where it's Comic Tom and some of those guys, they've kind of ruined some of that kind of deal. But it's, yeah, I think we're starting to recover though. Like
I agree.
us, like I don't want to say real comic guys, but people who actually run a comic store, brick and mortar, not depending
Well, I
on.
mean, they even said they were going after some of the brick and mortars that were releasing early because they're doing Whatnot and stuff too. So, but
Wow.
I thought that was very cool of them. Like I said, it was very upstanding of them to do that. So,
Yeah.
all right, let's talk comics because that's why we're here, right?
It's true. Yep.
All right, I'm gonna try a different layout. So,
Ooh.
maybe,
Okay.
yeah. All right.
Okay. There you go. We got Absolute Batman 17. Now this is the new, or the absolute version of Poison Ivy and her origin story. But this is also a lot of, I want to say the
I'm gonna share that again. Just you just
okay.
yeah, there
This
go.
issue also has a lot of things going on with Batman battling the aftermath of the Bane saga and what he's going through in his personal thing, because it's a lot of back and forth. You see Ivy and her mom. It's a lot about her mom in this. Basically, it seems like her mother has a disease, and Pam is a scientist, which she is in every other universe as a scientist, and she's trying to cure her mom. Now, apparently, she died, like Pam Isley has died, and this Poison Ivy is her mutated version. Which actually, she looks really cool in this book. Like, she's as cool looking as the absolute Joker in this, which I'm really thrilled to see. Like, the one thing I am enjoying is the grotesqueness of the mutations and the bad guys. It shows the deformity of the villains. But also, we see that Bruce is truly feeling alone. All his friends, they got injured through Bane or messed up because of Bane, is basically either Croc is gone, like he can't find him. Cobblepot won't see him. Two-Face disappeared. They can't find him. Like, it's a lot of his friends are just like, stay away from me. I don't want to talk to you. Which has got him very upset, even though everybody else in Gotham is praising him for sticking up for Gotham, for fighting Bane, for fighting for justice. And he's just not feeling it. He's feeling conflicted. He's upset. To top it off, apparently, Jim Gordon decides to make a move on his mom, and you see them kiss, and Bruce ends up walking in on it. So that adds to the the oh shit factor in this book. Basically, Bruce finds where Ivy is setting up headquarters, so to speak. Several mutated cops start appearing. He's trying to rescue them, but these cops are all mutated to the point where there's no coming back from it. They're basically just plant like zombies with some human DNA. He does rescue Jim's daughter. He does rescue her and gets her out of the way. But we do see like he kind of goes a little bit like Evil Dead, where he has like chainsaws built into his suit, and he's like ripping through the vines and all the plant life that's trying to kill him. He does have flamethrowers in his gauntlets, which I thought also
That's
is
cool.
badass. Yeah, it's again, you're seeing these new little nuances to him, like being innovative with his gear, and I love it. But you do see like the true Poison Ivy, and she's kind of like the Joker, where it's like you see the mutation a little bit, and I think that's like you're gonna see there's the probably the connection between her and the Joker eventually, but she looks really similar to the way the Joker is when he's all mutated up and everything. You see some similarities in this in that. We also see at the very end of this book Martha Wayne reaching out and calling this universe's version of the Court of Owls. So she was a former member of the Court of Owls, which blows my mind and is going to be really cool. I feel like that's going to be a really cool story because everybody loves the Court of Owls story, especially like the new 52 version. I want to see where this one goes, like his mom being involved in the Court of Owls. What's a good song about plants? I'm gonna go with this. It's kind of a little out there. Let's go with the musical number of Feed Me Seymour. I
Okay.
feel like that's appropriate.
I
It's
mean,
on the
it
nose.
is. It's a little on the nose.
But it's very appropriate, especially with this book.
I mean, suddenly Seymour would have been slightly funnier, but.
actually anything from that whole
From
musical
Little Shop of Horrors, yeah.
Little Shop of
I
Horrors,
mean, I
I
don't
feel
know,
like it's
man. You can't.
appropriate.
Like the Dennis song
That's
you
probably the
can't
only one that
really
doesn't fit. Yeah. That that's really the only one that's not doesn't fit, but
but it is a good song though.
it is. It's
But that kind of crazy talk from that crazy movie feeds right into this crazy fucking book that I'm about to review. So this book is called The Laser Drug Force in Florida Hippopotamus Cocaine Massacre by Fearless Fred Kennedy and James Edward Clark. So this starts off with like a sort of Nancy Reagan character complaining about how drugs are bad. Right? And she puts in like a VHS tape and it doesn't work, so she's like smacking the TV to get it to work. And she's like, we're gonna tell this tale of the Florida hippopotamus cocaine massacre. So then it takes you to Disco Hippo Wonderland, which is a kind of, think Disneyland meets SeaWorld, but the main attraction are a bunch of hippopotamus. Okay.
Okay. And that is a thing in the South. I like
It
where you see
is.
like random
Yeah,
animal
yep,
farms
yep.
and all
Yep.
sorts of stuff. Yeah. I don't know how many alligator farms I've seen down in the Carolinas. That's a thing
Right.
out there, you know.
So the spokesperson lady with the mic has like a hippo hat and like a bikini bottom on and like a midriff cut shirt, and she's making like hippo jokes, and like the best part about the thing is like the crowd, as you go through the crowd, it's like they're like somebody says, "Look, it's defecating." Another guy goes, "Finally, the pills are kicking in." So the ones like make him play the piano. Oh man. Somebody bitched about having paid $5 to be there. Another one said like they're like, "Oh my God, what is that?" And all of a sudden, the guy who runs the place, who is named his actual name is his last name is Disco. It's Jans Major Disco is his name, but Discau. Right? And he is this like ginormous fat man with like stubble, and he's like hooked up to heart monitors. He's got a bunch of nuns that are his like carrying around his IV and shit, so he doesn't die because he's a literal fat ass. And you find out that there's actually like federal agents that are trying to bust him for dealing coke, right? So he rides out of his helicopter onto a little scooter, and these two punk guys with guns pick him up on the scoot or on the board with the scooter, and like another like Rambo looking dude follows behind, and they're like, all right, we're gonna get back into the thing, and they go and find basically a local law enforcement guy that they found was trying to infiltrate him, and basically is like, oh, you were looking for this, the Coke 45, which is like the coke that he made, like the cocaine that he made. So they like go around, and all of a sudden the guy who he has hostage, his older brother, who's a different cop, like drives a car through the park into where they're at, and like starts like just shooting people to get his brother back. And it is a very like what the hell moment. The feds are in a van, and they're like, fuck this, we're going in. That like they're trying to protect the fat guy. They try to get him into a safe room by squeezing him down into this the escape hatch that he can barely fit down. And then the nuns get guns, right? Nuns with guns. And they start shooting at the dude who drove in. That guy grabs one of the punk guys that was lifting the fat guy earlier, and he's like, oh my God, is this a novelty zip line? And he's like, yeah. He's like, imagine your embarrassment that you forgot about that. And he uses him across the zip line, and it's just blood flying everywhere, and to the point where he gets to the end of the zip line, he's in two pieces. And he's like, thanks for the ride. He's like, get a doctor. Employees enjoy an incredible benefit package here at Hippo Disco Wonderland. This is probably covered. Nuns are shooting more. He's taking cover behind a hippo. More guns from the nuns. Finally, the SWAT team shows up and stops the nuns. The fat guy, when he gets to the bottom of the chute, they pick him up on a forklift and have to carry him by forklift. And he wants to blow up the park to get them to stop running after him. So he tries to blow up the park, and everybody's like freaking out. The guy that broke in to save his brother was like freaking out because he thinks his brother's dead. He's like, "You will be avenged." So they cut back to the fat guy, and they're like, "We're not going to be able to fit the hippos, you, and the cocaine on the plane. We need to dump something." And he just goes, "Fine." So they pour like sacks of cocaine into the part where all the hippos are. Yeah. Let's just say, like the people in the park that are trying to get out, someone's like, "Is that the hippos?" It's like, "They're singing. It's a lullaby." And all of a sudden, you see like five coked out of their mind hippos running out of there, and that's how the first book ends. This book was insane.
Like I said, like earlier today about this, I was like, me and Bob, one of the other employees at the mills, are like, that is the most insane title for a book I've ever heard. I was like, and it still seems to be a little bit of the leftover of the Cocaine Bear
No, it
phenomenon
wasn't. I
from
mean,
the
it was,
'80s.
but it wasn't. Like it really mostly made fun of like Florida Man, the war on drugs, like Blackfish, SeaWorld stuff. It was nuts, dude. Like, I'm giving this book, oh man, Let me think of what song. I gotta think of a good one. Like, it's gotta be. Oh my God.
It's gotta have to do something with cocaine. How about some Motley Crue?
No.
That seems to be it.
No.
Motley
It
Crue
would. It would. It would. But I think I'm actually gonna go with. Hold on. Hold on. I gotta think of. Hold on. I'm gonna go with Die When You Die by Gigi Allen.
guys.
Right? Because that's the kind of crazy shit that would come out of Gigi Allen, right? Either that or it has to be something from Anal Cunt. Like, just saying, like, pick any Anal Cunt song, that's this book. Like, that's how fucking crazy this book is.
Remember, folks, this is a mature rating for
Ah!
the
That's true. This episode definitely has mature rating.
today.
But holy shit, was it like a crazy ride, and I loved every minute of it.
Nice. All right, we got The Darkness, number three. Now I missed number two, but apparently Jackie fought Angelus, the Angelus, and beat her. So this is the aftermath of that. Jackie and Jenny, I believe that's one of the girls that he was at the bar with, or one of the girls that he
Like
was
the one
with
from his past, yeah.
asked, and they meet up with Satane, the pronunciation of the dude's name, and the Brotherhood. Apparently, they're all located under the UN building. Like the guy owns like the UN building itself, and we get like kind of a quick explanation of what the darkness is and why Jackie has it. Because obviously the darkness is an elemental, chaotic phenomenon, I guess you would put it. It doesn't have an actual form to it, unless it is brought up by the human host, like Jackie. Now it his he gets told that his father was much better at controlling it, and a lot of the creations that you see in the darkness are a lot of like his father's doing. He was told his father was very talented in that area of the darkness as far as controlling that. They're eating dinner while they're discussing this. Jenny wants to try calling her family, but she can't reach them and she doesn't know why. So Jackie, like, well, I have to go. You stay here because the Angelus is going after Jenny. So he goes out and he's running errands. He's checking up on his uncle in the hospital. But before he does that, he decides to go and visit the Russian gangsters, a visit that started all the bull crap with his family. Basically, it's kind of like John Wick, but with demons and stuff. He just obliterates the Russians. Even takes the son, and he's like, okay, I got a full clip here, and he's like, each bullet's gonna go somewhere, and he's like, if you don't agree to my terms and leave my family and the city, he's like, your son is gonna be in a pine box. So that's taken care of. Then he goes and visits his uncle in the hospital, who's still unconscious. He also stops by Jenny's house, and this is where Apparently, the entire her entire family was massacred, and they said it was they couldn't describe what they were seeing. The crowd that did see like what was happening, because apparently Jenna's mother or aunt or something was able to run out of the house, but they said something came out and just split her in half. And you're not getting an accurate description, so. Jackie's probably going to investigate to see where this goes. And that is the end of this book. I am enjoying the new reboot here because you're getting a little bit more clarification of what the darkness is and the origin and everything, where you never really got that early on with the OG stuff. You learned it later, but not like right up front. So I thought that was pretty cool. To since he took care of the Russians, and that was the most part of this book, I'm gonna go with something really weird. I'm gonna go with original Game Boy Tetris theme.
Okay.
I feel like it fits because it is Russian. And anybody knows the backstory of Tetris, it's actually kind of
Yeah.
messed up.
It
Like I
is.
watched the
Yeah.
documentary. It
Yeah.
is for a video of one of the most famous video games of all time. It's disturbing.
Yeah.
yeah, I feel like that fits though with the darkness a little
Fair enough.
bit.
All right. My next book is Mega Man X number 1 from Udon. So this picks up right after.
Is this the third Mega Man title in 2026 already?
So they did a regular Mega Man, a Mega Man X, a Mega Man Zero, and then there's another one. Oh, the Legends as well. So
Okay, so is it, you already
yeah.
did like the other two, I think.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this picks up after where Timelines 1 lives off, right? So Mega Man already has the upgraded boots. And he's going after Storm Eagle, right? So he's talking to Zero. He's like, "Yep, you can just go after him. It'll be fine." So Mega Man's literally just going to this airport and ripping up the place. Like, where the hell are you? Where the hell are you? Blowing shit up, shooting at things, like doing super huge jumps. It's awesome. And then he finds another what the hell are these? Capsule, right? So he jumps in the capsule. Dr. Light appears. He's like, "Hey, good to see you again, X. I see you've already found one of your pieces of armor." So he gives him the helmet, which you get in the Storm Eagle level. Then he actually meets Storm Eagle, and they have a giant throwdown in this airship. Storm Eagle basically is like, "I'm not really a maverick. I'm doing this for me." So they have this awesome fight. It is well drawn, this fight. And eventually, Mega Man blasts the shit out of him. And he, because Storm Eagle didn't actually go Maverick, he's actually trying to help him. But as he's about to get out of the plane, Storm Eagle gives him Storm Tornado, and then pushes him out of the plane. And he's like, "God damn it!" Zero catches him, just like in the video game. Storm Eagle takes the plane and crashes it back into one of the one of Sigma's bases, which was kind of cool. And then they're off to the next adventure after that. It played so much like the game, like it was not even funny. Oh, and they're going to go to the Mandrill stage next time, which is awesome. So I really dug it. I think the art was killer. It's a little bit of a polished look to it that I don't normally like in comics, but it works because of what the book's about. And the dialogue's good, the writing's good. I just like how they adapted it, like each one's a level. So we're probably gonna get 12 total issues because there's nine bosses, and then 3 issues will probably be just the actually, sorry, like we've already had one of them, one of the bat bosses. So it'll be probably 12 total issues, with 4 of them being him going up against Vile and Sigma at the end. So I'm pretty excited about it. This book is, I think, my favorite of the Mega Man books that are out now. So if you're into Mega Man, check it out. And I am giving this, oh man, Where Eagles Dare by Iron Maiden, because fuck you, Storm Eagle. So.
All right, we got Wolverine, Weapons of Armageddon. Now this is a lot of back and forth, because this seems to be connected along with his Weapon X experiences. Now, Logan, the book starts with Logan meeting this attractive woman. We found out her name is Terry O'Barnes. She is a mutant. We don't find that out until after this, of course, but she is a mutant. She talks to Logan. They drink together a little bit, and finally he leaves. But when he leaves, it's the scene where he gets kidnapped by Weapon X, and he is taken hostage and converted into the Wolverine that we know and love. Now we get flash forward, and it is Wolverine, like, kind of having a nightmare. Not so much about that, but we see a silhouette running in the woods with wolves and stuff, and that's, we usually figure that's Logan doing that. But he wakes up and he's sweating. He ends up going and meeting up with Terry. Now, this is current. She's a little older now. Now she helps mutants. She finds them and helps them. She does reveal to Logan that there is a new weapons program started up on the private sector. This isn't a government thing. This is a, dare I say, a billionaire slash oligarch thing going on here, where a private citizens using his money to try to make super soldiers. They discuss this kid named Tyler, who has apparently a we don't know his exact power because they're kind of being very vague with it. He does have regeneration very similar to Logan, and he was taken by this private company. We'll just say like the new Weapon X, just to kind of give you the gist. Now they find the lab, which is the lab that Logan was in. Then it's all torn apart. Like, it's, there's fire trucks and stuff, and there's a crew trying to find things, and they sneak in, and they're checking out what's going on, and they find out the kid did end up going through the process that Logan went through, because you see the tube and all the stuff that they were doing to him. He did escape. He escaped with a box. We don't know the contents of this box, but it's apparently more important than even he is. And there's like the head scientist guy that he's complaining and whining about it. He calls the backer, and the backer pretty much just informs the other guy on the phone, hey, take care of the situation, which means get rid of these guys. So he ends up killing this head scientist guy for screwing up, basically. Logan takes care of like some of these guys the way Logan usually deals with them. They're going in there tracking Tyler. They end up running, going into a log cabin that is well maintained. You see a cap shield, which is the shield you're seeing right there. But Logan's like, that's not his shield because he could smell that it's not quite right. Meantime, the guy in charge, which we still don't know his name, calls in some favors with the military. And guess who gets recruited? Well, you see him right there on the cover. Nuke is getting recruited to take care of Logan, or at least like find out why Logan is doing what he's doing. But there, Terry and Logan, excuse me, are going through this cabin, and from behind we see a bearded dude wearing like a modified Captain America outfit, saying, if you're looking for the kid, I freed him and you're never going to find him. And you see a silhouette of Tyler, and you're seeing what part of his abilities are, but you do see that he does have three claws. But it kind of looks like the adamantium is coming out of his skin, almost kind of like a Colossus transformation. Not quite it, but it you only see a silhouette of it. You only see it at the very end of the book. But that looks kind of interesting. Wasn't expecting a new Wolverine book other than regular Wolverine and the Logan white black blood. But this one looks pretty interesting. I do have a thing with his Weapon X origins. It's always fun, especially when you find out like they're trying to pick it back up. Let me think of let's put some Static X to this. I'm gonna go with black and white.
Ooh,
I
yeah.
think that's kind of it fits the theme a little bit, I think.
I dig
Like
it. I'm just
that.
excited to see Nuke back. He's always like one of my favorite weird fucking bad guys. So.
Yeah, especially when him and Logan battle, it's funny. The
Yeah.
last time I saw him was what, the Death of Wolverine series, where he thought he could beat Logan even though Logan didn't have his regenerative building. And Logan's like, that's not the only thing I have, and just beats him up barehanded. He doesn't even pop his claws. He just beats him barehanded, barefisted, and just pummels him.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
All right. From one Wolverine to the next. my last book is Generation X-23, number one. So
I
this
see
starts
Honey
out
Badger.
with, what's that?
Honey Badger.
So she used to go by Honey Badger. Now she goes by Scout. So, which I'm not really
Honey
excited
Badger is way
about.
better.
I liked Honey Badger way better. I did.
Yeah, that's a better.
So, Right? So, and I don't ever refer to her as her actual real name. I will only ever call her Honey Badger.
I could call her
So,
Gabby. Gabby doesn't bump, but I will
okay.
always know her as Honey Badger.
So they're kind of getting ganged up on by a bunch of mutant-hating people. So they're kind of like beating some people's butts. And at one point, X-23 throws Honey Badger, and she just goes, she's yelling, "Scout's cool attack name." Kind of like Fastball Special, but without a name. So she's like yelling, "Scout's cool attack name," which was kind of ridiculous. So then she realizes that somebody is messing with time. And she used to know this other mutant that could do this. And her name was Keaton, where she could like literally fracture time and you could see different eras of stuff. And people are getting messed up with it, so they find this other mutant hiding. That's what people were actually hunting down. And she makes Honey Badger like kind of watch her while she goes to see what's going on with this time person. And it's there's this really cool double spread where you basically see all of Laura's existence, like from the all black NYX suit to the X-23 like shorts and jacket, like even the when she was Sabretooth, then the Uncanny X-Force, then Wolverine, then post-Wolverine, and then some future version of her too. It's very cool, and like she kind of gets through all of it, and she's like, "Damn, that put a damper on my healing factor." And then this X-23 robot comes out and is like intruder, so she has to kick that thing's ass. Finds the Keaton, but it's not really Keaton; it's like a clone of her, and she's like, "What the hell's going on?" So, then the Keaton's power kind of goes nuts and makes her be super old, and she just dies and turns into bone in front of her, which was kind of weird. So she then follows a scent from where she came from back to where she was at, and she says, "Oh man, this is like the building that I grew up in and was made in." Honey Badger meets her up there. They break in, fight some more robots, only to find out that after they were done beating all the robots, that there are a bunch of basically young mutants that, and the one girl in the middle is like, "Oh my God, X-23, like, is it really you? Are you really gonna come to join us?" And she's like, "What?" And that's how it ends. But there are some really, like, I'll be honest, the art in this book is phenomenal. The fight scenes are really, really awesome. They are really well done. The dialogue could be slightly better, because it's a lot of internal Laura thinking stuff. And the Honey Badger quips aren't as good as they normally are. But I enjoyed the book. I'll probably read it. Probably continue reading it. I did enjoy it a lot. So, I'm gonna give this, I'm sure there's a metal cover it out there somewhere, but a metal cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I'm sure like Arch Enemy or somebody has done it. So,
I doubt that, but okay.
yeah, you
That
never
would not be
know.
a band that I think they would do it, but
Okay. Well, it was very it was very, very good. I really enjoyed the book. It wasn't perfect, but it was very good. It was a good first issue, let me put it that way.
is it
So.
better than the Laura Kinney series stuff?
No. Well, in different ways. Like, I think the writing of the Laura Kinney book was better. I think the art in this book's better. So, I just I don't know. I just think it's a little bit better, my opinion. So, still fun. Anyway, just so you guys know, also, I forgot to tell you, the 5th of March, our buddy Dennis Robbins is coming back. He's gonna talk his new Kickstarter for the next section of Lightkin. What are you doing, Marshall? But yeah, he's coming to talk more Lightkin. He's gonna be a guest on the show. He's always a good time. We'll talk about his Kickstarter.
I was gonna say him and his cookies. They give that
Dude.
cookies there to
Dude. I almost want to be like, can you mail us some cookies before so we can just eat them on the show? Like, that'd be
gonna
hilarious.
say we see him at shows. He doesn't have to mail us cookies.
Right? I mean,
Yeah,
he can just bring some to the show. It'll be fine. So.
just have his tell him he has to prep some. That's all.
Right? Also, if you guys haven't seen our guest announcements, you're going to want to pay attention. We have some really cool guys coming up. Some guys that we haven't announced yet, some guys we're trickling some out. There are some guys on the website already listed, but make sure you guys check that out. It's gonna be freaking awesome. I'm
You
super
told me
excited.
one that I think a lot of people are going to be thrilled with. I think it's.
I agree. And I have a correction for you on that one when we get off the air, because
Oh.
I misspoke when I said he was the creator of one character. It's actually a different version of that character, which is
Ah.
way cooler because I like this version of the character way better. But yeah, it's gonna be a good time. So, but that's pretty much all we got for this week, guys. So, go watch some TVs. Go,
Yeah.
get out there. It's nice out. Go outside. Go to a local shop. Go buy some stuff. It's a good time.
I was going to say for anybody who's looking for a new streaming service that I think is upping their game, Tubi seems to be upping their stuff because apparently they just announced that they are now going to carry all Cartoon Network series, which I think is going to be phenomenal because we have a lot of viewers here or what that are big Cartoon Network fans. My wife's excited about that. She loves all those cartoons. You know,
Right.
that's and it's so hard because sometimes you'll get some of them, but not all of them. They are contracted to have all of that. So that is going to be something cool. I actually started watching Lie to Me with Tim Roth.
Yeah,
And
that's
I
a good
remember
show.
watching a couple of episodes, but not all the seasons.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying watching that currently right now on Tubi.
I really learned a lot about ticks, like lying ticks and stuff like that, and I really it changed how I react, how I am around people. Not because I had ticks, because everyone has them, but that I pick up on their ticks more because of that show. But then I always wanted to see him turn into Abomination, but it didn't happen, so.
It's a lot of those. Was it there? I think there was a YouTuber that is like all the stuff they show in that show is actually 100% accurate. It's
Yeah.
what they train people in the FBI and higher profiling type jobs of. This is what you got to keep looking for. Like my favorite episode by far has been the him in Vegas, because with if you have that kind of talent, Vegas is screwed because you could pretty much be like, yeah, I'm going to be on a poker table. I'm going to read every one of yous, and I'm going to win all your monies. It's going to be now. His thing in that episode was he doesn't like any of that. That's boring to him. He does roulette. Because it's
Yeah.
all chance. He doesn't
Yep.
fit, you know. And even like, I guess he was banned from Vegas was the whole thing. So they had to bring him back for the a missing person or something to find him. And as his reward, he has a one night with $2 million of chips just handed to him.
Yep.
And I'm like, There's so much you could do with just that $2 million of
Dude, I would
chips.
just cash it out and walk out. Fuck
He does not.
that.
He goes to the roulette table and puts it on double zero, but you never see if
How
he
it ends
hits
up.
on it or not.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, And this was 10 years ago. It's been
Yeah.
10 years since that last era. I'm like, God, I was like, that's when TV was good. I was
Yeah.
like, it's bad.
Yeah.
I think it was only
Well,
3 seasons of it too, so.
yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, somebody, I was reading some article and somebody had already started talking about how streaming is dead. And I'm like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know if it's
I think
dead.
it's
It's worn out its welcome. It's
that,
not.
yeah, I'll agree with that. Like, people really, I think, have kind of honed in on what they want. Like I don't get Peacock because I don't, there's like nothing on it I want to watch. Like, except for like the Olympics every 4 or every 2 years. Like, that's really it, and the Super Bowl, but that's really it. Like, you
I
know.
think that there's a lot of things I think people are finally getting the like. It's starting to be more expensive than cable ever was because if you want everything, it's going to cost you three times what cable used to. Three times. And I think people are sick of that. In the current climate that we're living in right now, it definitely is a luxury to say the least. You know, it's like me and my wife. We canceled all of our stuff, or if we do, we share it with family, which they're trying to put a stop to that. Now you're not even if you're a family, they don't want you sharing stuff, which I think is totally bogus. It's look, as long as it's you're the same family, you know, last
Yeah, but
name.
like, how do you prove it, right? Like
They
I know
have
a dude
all
who
of our
has, yeah, but
data now. They
I
have all of
know,
it.
I know, I
I'm
know.
sure they can.
But I'm just saying, like, but how do you prove it? Like, you know, but I get it, I get it. So, but anyway.
But it's gotten to the point I think more people are like, well, I just want to watch my favorite movies, or I just want this, you know. That's why I prefer almost watching YouTube at this point, because at least YouTube, you can, you know, I found some cool movies on YouTube that I haven't seen in years that I haven't found on any other streaming site. Like I watched Jet Li's The One. I haven't watched that
Nice.
in 20 years. I haven't watched that thing.
Nice.
And that's I also I forgot Jason Statham with
Yep.
hair, his Hollywood debut. That was
Yep.
his first role
Yep. Yep. Yep.
before chiseled abs and slick and no hair.
Yep.
He had scruffy hair and you didn't see he was wearing like a hoodie and a jacket or something.
The first movie I remember him actually being in, though, was Snatch. And that is, to this day, one of my favorite movies of
And
all
that is
time.
a good movie. I like
So.
Brad Pitt's. That is one of Brad Pitt's like
Oh!
underrated
Yeah, he's
roles.
amazing in that.
Yeah. No. What did he say? He said, go fuck yourself. I didn't understand him.
My favorite part is when Vinny is like beating the shit out of this dude at the car door and his car phone rings and he answers like bonjour or Bullet Tooth Tony, sorry, Bullet Tooth Tony is what his name is in that. Yeah. But
I love him as that and him as Sphinx in the movie I was talking with Robert Duvall and Nicolas Cage. I forget the stupid movie's name.
I can't remember which movie you're talking about.
Where they had to steal all the cars at a, in a 24-hour period or something. 48-hour
The
period,
not
whatever.
the Italian Job.
No, that's Mark Wahlberg. But it was same years, like it's a couple
Yeah, it
years
was like it was
apart.
very similar to that era, yeah. I don't remember, but
It's one of
anyway.
those car movies that was like Fast and the Furious, but not Fast and the Furious.
Right.
But he was Sphinx and he didn't say a word the entire time. And I just remember him like, what was it? Nicolas Cage was getting his butt kicked by a gang. And he just went up to him and he just started headbutting the entire gang. And then he blew up their car because he just jammed a rag in it and just boom. I'm like, yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching and listening. We will catch you next week. And again, make sure you come visit us next weekend at State College. And if you want to, just go out and support in the meantime, do it. Support your local comic shop no matter where it is. We're friends with everybody and we want to keep it that way. So, because we're all stronger about this together. So.
Yeah, I am. We might have to bring like one of our guards here, maybe this one or the big girl. I might have to bring the big girl with us. She could she will have so much fun, so
She
much food
would.
smells, so much food smells.
Oh my
She that's
God.
what it's going to
I
get
know.
her.
So, all right, guys, thanks again so much, and we'll catch you next week.